required in certain instances, we've seen in the past, where they have overspent their appropriation, or they, by audits, have shown that the restricted grants were not allowable under the grant formula, and as such, the general fund monies had to be appropriated to fill the gaps.
There's been a major improvement in communications, I think is the best way to say it, between our office and Budget and Audit Committee, legislative auditor, and the university in terms of their books and the information that we can get from them. I know the legislative auditor has an audit staff member in Fairbanks now, and he spends a lot of his time on the Fairbanks campus in the statewide office looking at their materials. And they are supplying us with more information than they ever have in the past. And we do have better information on their restricted fund budget programs. Some of our concerns are more like the underfunding rate, for example, where we can't get data on their personnel turnover, but we are getting much better information feeds from the university now than we have in the past.
Rather than degrading or derogating the university, I think that in the last, possibly 2 years, that showed, at least in my estimation, that showed a marked increase for fiscal responsibility and our coming around to recognizing the responsibility of being part of the state government and not an entity unto themselves.
Okay. Proceed.
Yes, sir. What the university is asking in the underfunding program, the reason they're asking for the $1.7 million, they're asking for an established rate for three groups of employees, which is well below the one that is currently used in their budgets. They're asking for the vacancy rate to be 0.5%, 0.5% for their faculty budgets. And currently we levy 1% at the smaller campuses and 2% at the larger campuses. They're asking 1% for administrative staff, where we currently levy about 5%, and they're asking 2% for their classified staff, and that varies depending on what budget they're in, anywhere between 3% and 5% currently. So they're asking for major adjustments in their underfunding rates, and that's the $1,007,000 request that you see included in this budget presentation. We have no backup to verify what their actual rates are at this point, and that is one of my concerns.
Okay.
The rest of their budget is approximately almost $2 million is being asked for in increases in instruction. And as I've made presentations to both your committee, Mr. Chairman, and the House committee, I have concerns over the last several years about any increases in instruction since the Regents still have yet to develop their academic master plan. They had one in 75. The Regents year before last determined that wasn't useful enough and adequate, and they were going to do a new one. Each of the last 2 years, the university president has come to the committees and said, "You'll have the master plan for you next year." They still don't have it. So my concern is not whether that these are good requests or not, because they may be. My concern is that they don't have an overall academic plan that these requests fit into. And I still have that concern for the fiscal 81 budget request. There is some money requested, $175,000, by the statewide office for assistance in consulting time and some staff time to develop master plans. And I have discussed that with Vice President Trombley, and he feels that any major master plan development is at least another year away, and these funds would be useful in getting that function finished, and so that we can have something to work with the Regents on in terms of their overall academic need. But again, they don't have it for this docket, for this budget year, and we're looking at another year down the road. Those are the high points, Mr. Chairman, of the university budget. It's basically approximately a 19% general fund increase from the university, 17.7% recommendation from the governor, fee increase that the Regents, I think, will pass this weekend, underfunding changes, the largest single request that they're asking for, a large increase in athletics, a question of whether you want to continue to budget their salary schedule, longevity increases differently than you do the rest of the state agencies.
And have you discussed the 4.2 salary increase?
And that was the next item, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead.
And the other item that's not appearing on this document, because I don't know where the governor has it currently, is the university has asked for a $4.2 million increase, general salary increase, for its staff. Based on lack of a general salary increase in the past. Some of you who were here may recall back in 1970, in the fiscal 75 or fiscal 76 budget, the legislature appropriated a little over $4 million for a general faculty salary increase based on comparative salaries with the lower 48. And at that time, the Regents had adopted a policy asking for comparability at the 50th percentile of the lower 48 faculty salaries, and the legislature appropriated funds to meet that objective. Since then, there's been no study that I'm aware of made by the university on that same rationale or using that same policy. And they have accepted over the last 3 years, or requested, I should say also, only the COLA increases that the rest of the state agencies have gotten through the legislative action. This year for fiscal 81, they're asking, in addition, to be included in the COLA increase and have a $4.2 million general salary increase as well. I don't know where the governor has included that request. I assume it'll be in a salary bill that will come before you. However, we have not received any data from the university at this point backing up or supporting that request.
Mm-hmm. Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I remember back when we gave them that money, well, maybe I didn't interpret it this way, is the requested funds, or are the requested funds, for an across-the-board percentage increase for all people? Because we gave them the money last time. Some people got pay raises, some got nothing.
Mr. Chairman, there's two separate actions, I think, here. In the past two sessions, the legislature has allocated COLA increases, cost of living increases, to the university. And at the Regents' request, those funds had language placed in the bill which allowed the Regents to distribute those funds based on internal review rather than absolutely across the board. And I think what the Regents were responding to there was some of the concerns the legislature has also talked about in terms of the higher salaried people getting the same flat 8% across the board that the lower salary folks get. And the Regents have made some attempts the last couple of years to work against some of that. And so, in fact, some of the people at the higher end only got 2 or 3% increases out of the COLA last year at the Regents' direction. So that's happened on the COLA increases, and I don't know if the Regents are going to request the same language this year or not. The $4.2 million, again, I'm not sure what their request is going to be, whether that's an across the board, Mr. Chairman, or again, if it's an adjustment of certain salary schedules based on comparability. We just don't have enough information.
Yet. Yeah, it just hasn't come down yet.
That's right.
Okay, could you tell the committee about the $570,000 increase in new facilities, and specifically about the change TVCC?
Yes. On the second page of the summary sheet, there's a column under, called New Facilities under Proposed Changes Above Continuation, $576,000 request. This is for new facilities that are opening up, with the exception of TVCC, new facilities that are opening up this fall or this spring from bond issues, previous bond issues, and they're asking for custodial support or consultant support so they can hire maintenance services at the smaller campuses. And I will be, and I haven't finished yet, and I will be checking their detailed request against their current custodial staff working loads to see if the requests seem appropriate or in line with the kind of workload they're carrying now. The TVCC, the majority of that request, or a large part of the $200,000, is for the takeover or the transfer, is a better word, of the Hutchison Career Center from the Fairbanks Borough School District to TVCC. This has been in the works for almost a year now. The superintendent of the Fairbanks Borough School District is recommending that Hutchison Career Center operation be transferred to TVCC, although I don't think the school board has approved it yet. There's still some discussion about it. This $200,000 is assuming that transfer takes place, and it's for TVCC, for for maintenance services and custodial services on that center as it transfers over to them. One of the concerns that the chairman and I spoke to last week is that I will check also if this transfer does happen and make sure that the Department of Education Foundation units that normally go to the Fairbanks School Borough are reduced so that the effect takes place on both sides. But this is in there in case that transfer takes place, and we'll watch that carefully to make sure it happens.
Senator Hackney?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Dave, do we have any indication as to how the other community colleges other than Anchorage, mm-hmm. how they stack up as far as bodies.
Oh, enrollments?
Yeah.
We have an enrollment. I didn't bring it in with me, I'm sorry. It's not included in their budget document.
Would you like to have a copy?
I will get their latest enrollment report, yes. I will get it for the committee. They are projecting enrollment increases in most campuses. We will get that information.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dankworth.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, I was going to ask a question because we've had to update figures on just how many bodies we're talking about. Most of all this is just based on credit hours.
That's correct. Most of the enrollment statistics from the university are credit hour statistics. When you get, and they have some headcount, which I have concerns about the value because a lot of their headcount is duplicate headcount. They're still having lots of problems because students who go to two campuses, like ACC and UAA at the same time, or TBCC and UAM.
But if we said, like ACC and actually put five students to one course at three credit hours, at ACC, you would have 15 credit hours, but one student could go to UAA and take a full course of 16 credits.
That's correct.
And you would show that there was a great increase in ACC and a decline in UAA, probably something. That's why I'd like to kind of look at the figures.
Right. Number of positions.
Follow me.